The CIA informed Assistant Attorney General J. Bybee that he served as Osama bin Laden's senior lieutenant. In that capacity, he has managed a network of training camps. He also acted as an Al-Qaeda coordinator of external contacts and foreign communications, the agency alleged. George W. Bush, a complete dunce, used his case to justify the CIA's enhanced interrogation program, claiming that he had run a terrorist camp in Afghanistan where some of the 9/11 hijackers trained and that he helped smuggle Al-Qaeda leaders out of Afghanistan so that they would not be captured by U.S. military forces. But as Rebecca Gordon reveals in her brilliant piece in Counterpunch, none of it was true. American officials lied through their teeth to justify their crimes against Abu Zubaydah and many other innocent people. The CIA hired two contractors, the psychologists Bruce Jessen and James Mitchell, to work on Abu Zubaydah. Their mission was to induce what they called learned helplessness, meant to reduce a suspect's resistance to interrogation. They charged $81 million for their services to test their theories about using torture to extract information. Using a plan drawn up by Jessen and Mitchell, Abu Zubaydah was waterboarded 83 times in the course of a single month. What is waterboarding? It included strapping a victim to a wooden board, placing cloth over his entire face, and gradually pouring water through the cloth until he began to choke. At one point during this endless cycle of torture, the Senate committee reported that Abu Zubaydah became completely unresponsive, with bubbles rising through his open, full mouth. Each of those 83 uses of what was called the watering cycle consisted of four steps. Number one, demands for information interspersed with the application of the water just short of blocking his airway. Number two, escalation of the amount of water applied until it blocked his airway and he started to have involuntary spasms. Number three, raising the waterboard to clear subject's airway. And number four, lowering of the waterboard and return to demands for information. Throughout the CIA videotaped Abu Zubaydah's torture, but destroyed the tapes in 2005 when the news of their existence leaked and the embarrassment and possible future culpability of the agency seemed increasingly to be at stake. CIA Director Michael Hayden would later assure CNN that the tapes had been destroyed only because they no longer had intelligence value and they posed a security risk, whose security one wonders. In addition to waterboarding, the Senate torture report indicates that Abu Zubaydah endured excruciating stress positions which caused terrible pain without leaving a mark, sleep deprivation for up to 180 hours, which generally induces hallucinations or psychosis, unrelenting exposure to loud noises, another psychosis inducer, walling, the agency's term for repeatedly slamming the shoulder blades into a flexible false wall. Though Abu Zubaydah told the International Committee of the Red Cross that when this was first done to him, he was slammed directly against a hard concrete wall. And confinement for hours in a box so cramped that he could not stand up inside it. All of these methods of torture had been given explicit approval in a memo written to the CIA's head lawyer, John Rizzo, by J. Bybee, who was then serving in the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel. In that memo, Bybee approved the use of 10 different techniques on Abu Zubaydah. Make no mistake, American officials are war criminals and torturers. The U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence Torture report on December 2014 confirmed this in writing.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Noor Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Shaykh, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Shaykh. Today we are going to talk more about perhaps a political issue, or at least a sentence that many Muslims have heard, especially Muslims who live in non-Islamic countries. And the perhaps sentence or question is as follows. Not all Muslims are terrorists, but why are all terrorists Muslims?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First part of the question is absolutely right. I want to say that the, Muslim are not terrorists. But the second part of it, with some observation, even into the first sentence.
Right.
But after all, you find in other, I want to say that some people, they are not even, maybe they do not have any religion, and maybe they are not Muslim even, but they are terrorists.
Right.
I just want to refer to the, some people like, for example, Zionist,
yes,
groups and government, and the American government.
Right.
These are a symbol of the terrorism. Please look at the history of America and how many war invaded and waged war against many countries and against many people. More than thousands of people have been massacred and killed by the American invasions.
Right.
For example, look at the Iraq, look at Afghanistan, and some other countries. By the invasion of America, they have been
right.
killed, they have been massacred.
Yes.
A lot of injured people,
right.
inflicted with the different problems.
Also European countries, Sheikh, who colonized Africa and parts of Asia. So you're saying, in essence, that terrorism, because when they say terrorism, they do not mean the government, they do not mean a country, they mean a single organization. But that organization, in our viewpoint, right, Sheikh, it can be a country as well, a government as well.
Yes, of course. Even some individual or some government. Look at the invasion of Israel into the Palestinian
people. The Zionist
people.
Regime.
Yes.
Yes, worse than the Nazis themselves.
You see in the news that each and every day they kill many Palestinian people.
Right.
Innocent people who are fasting, in the holy month of Ramadan and before and after that, killing innocent girls and boys.
So many atrocities you can find, but nobody speaks about it in Western media, unfortunately.
Nobody speaks about that. Please look at the, as I said, the history of American invasion, like the war of Vietnam.
Yeah, not even from non-American sources. Just look at American sources, so you can say, you cannot say that we are biased. Just look at American history, and you'll see, like, the American nation was founded in blood.
Exactly.
The Revolutionary War, and after that, the Civil War, and blood by blood and blood.
Yet, please, my dear listener, as my dear host said, I do not want to seem biased because I'm Iranian. I just seem to be against the American. No.
Right.
Look at the history of America. Please look at only the war of Vietnam.
Right.
How many people they have been massacred and killed brutally in
right.
that war?
Use weapons that weren't used before, like napalm, new weapons, and
yes.
bombing villages and... Of course, we need to, goes without saying, we talk about the government and those who stand with the troops and soldiers. Because if you remember, Sheikh, there were also some demonstrations against the war in Vietnam as well, in America.
Yeah.
So just to clarify for our listeners, we don't talk about all Americans. We need this clarification, unfortunately.
Of course.
We talk about the army, those who participate in the war, the government, those we are against.
Of course, we are talking about the American, you know, administration.
Authorities
right. as yes. you mentioned. Yes, you're right. And who sent and who equipped the Saudi with a lot of equipment,
weapons and munitions,
with a lot of
airplanes
weapons,
to bomb Yemen?
To bomb Yemen.
Yes.
This is a big question.
Or who armed the Syrian rebels in Syria? They called them rebels, but then no, suddenly they were terrorist groups.
Who armed this terrorist group worldwide? This is
yes.
a big question.
Right, yes. That's
whenever,
a more general question.
Whenever you find any rebels, whenever you find any, you know, troops fighting the other innocent people, you find, you know, whether American or Zionist group or other
right.
European countries.
You find a Western hand in it.
Western hand in it. They equip and they send weapons toward them and they want to arm them against the innocent people. I'm just wondering why some people, they ignore such a crime, big crimes in front of the eyes of the public, right. but they look at the some of the ideas, of course, which was by the media, broadcast by the media against the Muslim.
Media propaganda, very normal.
Media propaganda and, you know, causing this Islamophobia.
Exactly, yes.
This is, I think, the agenda of some of the Western media against political Islam, against the real Islam. I want to say that most of the, you know, accusation comes and stems from this media agenda and media propaganda against Muslim and against Islam. But after all, I have to mention this point that within Islamic, let's say, religion and denomination, we have some extremist groups like Takfiri groups who really defame the Muslim community and Islamic Ummah.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. These Takfiri groups, you can find them, you know, somewhere in some countries by different names and titles.
Right.
They are, you know, killing people, massacring innocent people, unfortunately, by the name of Islam. And these groups, you know, if you go to the origin of that, maybe one of the, you know, you can find some Western countries and America, American administration, who founded these groups, you
right.
know,
or supported
to some extent.
Them, at least, funded them, gave them weapons, equipment, money.
Yes. Right. I want to say that you can find the hand of the some of the Western countries for the, you know, funding these groups and the, you know, having this group against the humanity.
Right.
But you see that we cannot say that, for example, Muslim are terrorists or such ideas. Unfortunately, some people are under the influence of the media. And I understand that when you look at the heavy propaganda against Muslim and against, you know, Islamic Ummah, you would find this perspective toward the Muslim.
Right. So in essence, what we are trying to say here, what we are trying to say here, dear Sheikh, is that first, our dear listeners, they should look at the same terrorist, see what it entails, and perhaps realize that it cannot only refer to organizations and groups, but it can also refer to countries. Because these countries that you've mentioned and the history, you can find it online as well. You don't need to go to the history books. They, in essence, they're also big terrorist countries or terrorist governments. So it is wrong for somebody to come here and then say and ask and say, well, all terrorists, they're Muslims. That is simply not true. We do also have rebel groups in some African countries. We do have some rebel groups in Africa. They are Christian rebel terrorist groups. The Zionist regime, they are Zionist terrorist groups in Israel, occupied Palestine. We can mention so many examples. So a terrorist, Sheikh, they're not just an organization or a group of Muslim people. They are also countries. Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah, exactly. I want to say that we cannot attribute such terrorist act to the specific religion.
Right.
When you find, for example, as you mentioned, some Christian doing that or some Jew people doing that.
Nobody says that's Christianity and Judaism.
Judaism, right. Yeah. It is a false, and the I want to say that the weak point of that individual or group.
Right.
We do not ascribe it to the Christianity or Judaism.
Exactly,
okay?
Yeah.
Or, for example, the Buddhist. You see in the in
what
the
they did
news.
In Myanmar and
yeah,
all
yeah.
of those
exactly.
The Rohingya Muslims, I believe they are called the...
Yeah.
They took their villages, burned their villages, killed them, killed their children, but nobody talks about that.
Yeah, exactly. This is a point that when we talk about the some so-called Muslim, they attribute themselves to the divine religion of Islam and they
right.
practice some terrorist action, we cannot say it is a fault of the religion.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
these people are deviated from the mainstream, you know, religion. They deviated from the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The
and they ignored,
of Islam.
Yes, they ignored the teaching of Quran and the teaching of Islam.
Right.
They have the facade of religion.
Yes.
You know, they seem to be, they, you know, show themselves to be Muslim, but unfortunately,
right.
They are not.
Of course,
they are not
Muslims.
Practicing Muslim.
Yeah, why, if you see the primary victims of these terrorist organizations, they are Muslims. Now, the bombings in Iraq and Pakistan recently, what is happening in Afghanistan. The victims of these terrorist organizations are Muslims. So you need to ask yourself, why would a Muslim kill a Muslim? Is it the teachings of Islam? No, of course not. So I would say to our dear listeners who have or heard these questions or thinking these thoughts, find out what Islam is, the true Islam, and then you for yourselves, you can measure whether what you've seen these Muslims do is Islam or not.
Exactly. You see, my dear brother, unfortunately, the problem that we are suffering from nowadays is a lack of sufficient knowledge.
Right.
Some people, even within Islamic denomination, if they practice such, you know, horrendous actions against humanity, I'm talking about these takfiri groups, who excommunicate all Muslims to be out of the realm of Islam. Unfortunately, the most problem of that is related to the lack of information and knowledge about Islam.
Right.
They think that the teachings of Ibn Taymiyyah is an end of story.
Yes.
We cannot say anything, you know, above that.
Right.
But the reality is that you can find a lot of weak points, a lot of misunderstanding in the books of Ibn Taymiyyah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And those people who just want to follow up these teachings of Ibn Taymiyyah and the founder of Wahhabiyat and the Wahhabiyya, and they do not have further study about Islam. They do not have further study, enough study about the divine religion of Islam. So I invite all my listeners and other fellow Muslim brothers and sisters to have enough study and to be away from ignorance.
And on that note, we will have to end today's session because we are out of time. I thank you, dear Sheikh, for joining us today and for answering this very annoying question. And I also thank you, dear listeners, for sticking throughout with us. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي حسين وحسن
Food for thought.
Salam friends, and here is something short but sweet from the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, to ponder upon. No one will find the true taste of faith before he refrains from telling lies, whether seriously or jokingly.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Chinese scientists are establishing a meteorological monitoring station at an altitude of 8,800 meters on Mount Komolangma, the world's highest peak on the China-Nepal border. The 13 members of the research team started the trek towards an 8,300-meter base camp on Mount Komolangma from a 7,028-meter camp on Tuesday morning. They reached the camp in the afternoon and went on the last section of the arduous journey up on Wednesday morning. If the station is established successfully, it will replace the one at an altitude of 8,430 meters set up by the British and U.S. scientists on the mountains in 2019. It will be the world's highest of its kind, according to the Chinese Academy of Sciences. Iran's capital, Tehran, is hosting the country's most high-profile robotics event, dubbed RoboCop Iran Open. The event seeks to promote robotics and artificial intelligence by holding tournaments. Yusuf Shalali has the story.
They may not be able to face human soccer players just yet, but these robot footballers are taking their baby steps toward achieving this goal. The 16th edition of RoboCop Iran Open brought together 100 teams from across the country to compete in different fields of robotics and artificial intelligence, with a focus on soccer robots.
Our robot is a soccer player that moves with its wheels. It's totally different from humanoid robots, but it can certainly challenge them and beat them in a football match.
We have taken part in the Maze League of the RoboCop games. It's the first time I'm involved in this big competition, where I have to implement all my programming, mechanics and electronics skills to win the game. I am so excited.
Organizers say RoboCop seeks to promote robotics and artificial intelligence by offering IT experts a real-time challenge to build the most capable robots.
The idea of RoboCop competitions is to increase the creativity of IT experts in developing efficient robots. Why soccer? Because first of all, it is a highly popular sport, and second, it is a highly strategic game that requires a robot to perform many difficult tasks, which, if accomplished, can turn them into strong and capable robots.
RoboCop Iran Open is part of the international initiative dubbed Robot Soccer World Cup, or shortly, RoboCop. The event was first launched in 1997 and was inspired by the victory of a computer chess player against the then world chess champion, Garry Kasparov. The official goal of the competition, as stated by its organizers, is to hone the capabilities of humanoid robot soccer players so that they will win a soccer game against the winner of the most recent FIFA World Cup in mid-21st century.
While robots still have a long way to go before they can challenge the likes of Messi and Ronaldo, the ultimate goal of RoboCop is not about robot footballers beating human rivals, but the technology advances that can be made along the way to improve our lives. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
There is a lot to be worried about when it comes to the climate. An Indian auto rickshaw driver in the capital, New Delhi, has come up with an innovative idea to beat the scorching heat wave. He has built a garden on the roof of his vehicle to keep passengers cool. Mahendra Kumar's vehicle, dubbed Moving Garden, stands out among others with its unique rooftop. He has grown vegetables, flowers and a variety of herbs and shrubs on the small roof space. Kumar says it was easy to make the garden by spreading a thick sack over a mat and covering it with soil. Then he added the plants, watered them, and watched them grow.
Around 2 years ago, I had this idea during the peak of the summer season. I thought if I can grow some plants on the roof, it will keep my auto rickshaw cool and give relief from the heat to my passengers.
Kuma says the thick green keeps his three-wheeler cool even when temperatures reach 45 degrees Celsius. The rickshaw driver has also installed small fans inside for the comfort of passengers as an extra measure. His passengers say they feel cool because of the natural air conditioner. Kuma's rickshaw attracts many commuters for obvious reasons, and passers-by also stop to take selfies. A museum in France is hosting treasures of Peru, including the famed Machu Picchu, in a unique experience where technology meets archaeology. Visitors can immerse themselves in a vertical tour of Machu Picchu Citadel and see an exclusive exhibit of Peruvian archaeological objects. The collection is arranged chronologically, passing through the extraordinary diversity of some 13 cultures. The collection displays 200 artifacts spanning three millennia, dating as far back as 1500 BC. A large part of the exhibit is dedicated to Peru's Machica civilization with their vase portraits and red ceramics. The museum's curator says the goal was to show that pre-Columbus Peru was far deeper than just the Inca era. These days, it's easier than ever to get lost in the virtual world. A unique museum in the U.S. is using augmented reality for visitors to plug into a thrilling experience about the Earth's environmental challenges. The New York Museum is called Arcadia Earth. It offers a large-scale multisensorial journey through underwater worlds, mountains, savannas, and inspirational fantasy lands. Each exhibit is brought to life through immersive technology and animated by augmented and virtual reality, including projection mapping. One installation is made of 44,000 plastic bags, the amount used in New York every minute before a plastic bag ban was implemented. The museum founder says the goal is to raise awareness about the impacts of climate change in a fun way.
The intention is to inspire people to come and leveraging game and immersive beauty to deliver a message. And I think that if this technique were to be used in school, we will so learn much more, and every kid will want to go to school. And at the end of the day, the purpose is just to deliver the message. The tools are just techniques. So I really think that this technique, it's super fun and will work for everyone.
Vittori added that the experience is meant to encourage people to be proactive in protecting the planet. The exhibit also spotlights other environmental challenges such as overfishing and food waste. Proceeds from tickets sold are used to plant mangrove trees. This exhibit has been held in several cities across the United States, and each time proceeds have been used to support various environmental causes.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Appearing like something straight out of a sci-fi movie, this Gundam-style robot lifts off special equipment and carries out maintenance work on out-of-reach railway contact lines in Japan. Developed by West Japan Railway Company, JR West, and two other Japanese companies, The humanoid robot can conduct repair work on overhead wires, which are considered high risk for humans. According to J.R. West, a prototype of this robot can be controlled by human operators through VR helmets and remote controls. It can lift objects up to 40 kilograms in weight with two hands to a height of 10 meters. It was designed to lower the risk of electrocution and falling for workers. The company says it can cut down human labor by a third. The company has been conducting tests since April and expects to put the robot into full service by early 2024.
A child-sized doll screams and rolls its eyes while lying on a table as engineer Hiroki Takimoto looks on calmly. But instead of being a child's toy, the doll is a humanoid robot mimicking critical medical symptoms designed to train dental workers. The robot was co-developed by Japanese robotic startups Team Sock and a local dental school. Pediaroid was designed to stimulate a child's responses when receiving dental treatment, including changes to its medical condition. Using a tablet programmed with different medical conditions, the user is able to send signals to air cylinders installed within the robot's joints to move its entire body, mouth, and tongue to display physical reactions and facial expressions.
Medical workers really need to experience medical emergencies. It's important that they experience a situation where something goes wrong, and that's what it can simulate. As for the future, we would like to further develop it in such a way that various other people who are involved with childcare, such as mothers, elementary school teachers, childcare workers, and nurses, can experience emergency simulations.
Director of TeamSock's engineering division, Yusuke Ishii, said the robot was developed due to the lack of clinical dental training to treat children. Currently, at a hefty price tag of about 25 million Japanese yen, TeamSock hopes to develop the hyper-realistic robot further such that people from other childcare industries, including pediatricians and elementary school teachers, would be able to use it for other emergency situation training.
How long could you work at your job? In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do. And there, you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here, and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Orthman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, dear listeners of this program, today is a special from IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to this episode under the title of The Status of Music in Islam. Yes, we're going to speak about music. Today, Saturday, is the 5th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Jum'ah, verse 11 from the Holy Quran. We'll listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا فَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا قُلْ مَا عِندَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ
But when they saw a transaction or a diversion, O Muhammad, they rushed to it and left you standing. Say, what is with Allah is better than diversion and than a transaction, and Allah is the best of providers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
According to the exegetic sources, once the noble prophet was reciting the sermons of the Friday prayer when a caravan of the tradesmen entered Medina while beating their drums. Most of the Muslims left the noble prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, leaving his sermon unfinished. It was on that occasion that the blessed verse was revealed to censure their unworthy act. The blessed verse addressed to the noble prophet is saying that what is with Allah Almighty is better than amusement and trade, and Allah Almighty is the best provider.
Accept my prayer,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim.
Okay, at the beginning of this episode, I told you the topic of this episode is music in Islam. Music was first became famous in the Western culture, even it already existed since the ancient time. But Western culture made it spread out. Some scholars have an opinion that music is haram, and some said it is allowed as long as the music does not contain of bad words or lead us into bad things or forget the obligation to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But music itself is a creation, the beautiful one that originally made to ease our heart and to make mankind happy. Islam does not restrict music or prohibit all music. What Islam said in guidelines is that music is a pure thing and Muslims should keep its purity by not contaminate music with evilest deed
Nowadays, we find that music change into a rude and bad things. It is easy to find music filled with curse, insult, obscene, and wild words. Those music is prohibited in the view of Islam and should be avoided by all Muslims. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastayin. In this episode, we are going to talk about music in Islam. According to Islamic teachings, first of all, art isn't, in its essence, absolutely or, essentially endorsed or rejected. It isn't a zero or one case or, status. Rather, it must be indicated that in Islam, arts in general and music quite specifically are bounded to the context and to the uses and influences. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, we find that music takes us and leads us away from normal routes of activities and invites us to idleness, to wasting our time and wasting our energy. This kind of music isn't allowable, and it's a kind of haram music, a forbidden kind of music. If a kind of music leads us to committing sins and giving positive feedback to our carnal desires, this kind of music is certainly not recommended and strictly forbidden. However, if music, music just a simple composition and just some rhythmic sounds, and in that kind of music, the person who performs that kind of music invites people or leads people or inspires people to be more active, to be more energetic in the positive way and for allowable and recommended purposes. So that kind of music is certainly recommended.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special about Islamic viewpoint on music. Now we'll look at negative effects of music in Islam. It lead us into idolatry. In music, we also found several icon, idol, person, and certain symbol. When we idolize them too much, we wear those icon or symbol or idol. We become more interested and adore it excessively until we forget of Allah. The other effect of music, bad music, is forgetting prayer. Prayer is an obligation for every Muslim. Perform it on time is a must for every Muslim. By listening music, we forget times, surrounding, and did not listen on prayer call. And when we realize it, the time has passed. Or when it is a time to perform prayer, we delayed it for a moment just to listen on songs until they run out. This matter is feared as the negative effects of music in Islam.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Tawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
شكرا يا ربي شكرا هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا ربي.
Welcome to this part of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the harmful effects of music on body and mind. We must frankly recognize and examine the possible harmful influence of music. This should not surprise or shock us. Everything which is effective can be so either for good or ill. It is well to make clear outright that the medical effect of music does by no means have to coincide with its aesthetic value. There is bad music from the standpoint of art, which is harmless. And on the other hand, there is music by some of the best composers, which can be definitely harmful. It is not a paradox to state that music of a harmful character, the more expressive it is aesthetically, the more dangerous it can be.
In a hadith by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, Al-ghina majlisun la yanzuru Allahu ila ahlih. وهو مما قال الله عز وجل ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث ليضل عن سبيل الله. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam tells us what Allah means in this verse by لهو الحديث, vain talk. Vain talk is singing. What do singers sing about? Is it something philosophical? Is it something spiritual? Is it religious? It's all vain. It's all nonsense. It's all ridiculous. It harms and doesn't benefit. There are many youth in the West that, alhamdulillah, are very religious. I can say that many youth in the West are a lot more religious and law-abiding than many youth in the East. Many youth in the West are a lot more religious. They pray, they fast, they pray, they fast, they observe hijab, they follow the laws of Allah and the laws of the Quran, and they abide by the laws of and teachings of Ahlul Bayt. However, some youth have a weak point, and that weak point is music. A lot of religious youth that even come to the Islamic centers and perform all of the religious rituals, but their weak point is music. They can't stop listening to music. Whether it's in the car as they drive to work or school, or at work, or in the gym when they're working out, or at home, they're listening to music. Or if they hear someone else is listening to music, they don't care. They take it very lightly. If their brother or sister is listening to music on TV, they don't tell them to lower the volume. Or their children, so on and so forth.
Thank you very much. Our time is over. We leave you all in Allah's protection. Till another meeting, another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. God bless all of you.
I'm a believer. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.